Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the JackieWoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey to explore the heart energies that make up your internal essence. When you get to know who you are on the inside, you can begin to live from the inside out. By letting your heart matter, you'll be able to claim control over your choices and over your creations. So thank you for joining us. Each week we talk about a different heart energy, and this week the energy is honor, one that is very important to everyone's life. If you have not signed up for the weekly heart energy, do so, please, and it will be sent to you on Saturday morning, and you can begin to meditate with us. Think about this energy. Think of your experiences. See how it has been powerful in your life or where you have missed it sometimes when it was needed. So be sure and join us. We like your participation. We want you to email us. We want you to join with us in every way you can. Honor is such a powerful, powerful, powerful energy. I was thinking about it after I had meditated, and what came to mind was a story of a class I taught in Atlanta when I was teaching there, which I did for several years before we moved here to Columbus, North Carolina. And I had two women in a class. They were friends that got it in. They were really angry. They got it in for one of the other students. It was an outside of class thing, but they were determined to diss that person in class. And now, we had very strict rules that they were to talk about the assignment and how they had gained wisdom from it, or where they had problems, or what memories came up, or, you know, it was a growth class. Well, they were not about growth. They were about venting around this other person. And I would, every class, I would say, you know, that's not what we're about. Would you ladies please not do that? We're really trying to grow from each other and experience, have each other's experiences expand us. Well, they were determined. And so I had to, they would not pay attention to any boundaries, so I finally had to ask them to leave the class. But, you know, while that seemed like a very dishonoring thing, and it was a very dishonoring thing, in the moment, I acted from honor. You know, I saw honor was missing. I acted from honor, but I didn't feel gifted by them in honor. Mm-hmm. I felt like I gifted the class by setting a boundary and reclaiming honor in the class, but I didn't feel like I gained honor from them until years later, actually. I realized that, you know, the way they were doing it was very comical, and it sort of became among some of the students, sort of a funny story to tell, and we'd all laugh. And then it hit me one day, wait a minute. You know, that's not just a funny story. Their hearts really wanted honor. Mm-hmm. They really did want honor. And if I just make it about a funny story, even though I say, well, I'm not mad at them and I did what I needed to do to set a boundary and I brought honor, if I didn't join their heart in honor, I wasn't honoring them. Uh-huh. So while they gave me a lesson in honor, it took me a while to claim their gift of honor because their patterns were so incredibly dishonoring.
Hmm. Yeah. My story's a little different than that. When I was in high school, I was into various games, played paintball and Dungeons and Dragons and, you know, a lot of different role-playing simulation sort of games. And one of the people that I played with was an Indian fellow named Sanjay. And he was Muslim. I think most Indians are Hindi or Hindu, but he was Muslim for some reason, some part of India that he came from. And we would be out somewhere on a hike or playing a game or something like that, and you know, he'd look at his watch and he'd go, "Oh, I have to stop and do my prayers." And he'd get down and face towards Mecca and do the bow, touch your forehead to the ground thing that the Muslims do. He was not, you know, ashamed of it or anything like that, and it was kind of weird. I mean, to do that amongst a bunch of high school boys, you got to really believe in what you're doing, because you know you're going to get razzed about it. And we all just kind of were like, okay, well, that's cool. You know, that's Sanjay's thing. You know, after a while, we get used to it. And he always said something. I don't know if it was in Arabic or Gujarati or whatever language he spoke. And I finally asked him one day, I said, you know, what do you say when you touch your forehead to the ground? And he said, it roughly translates as, "It is an honor to serve."
Wow, that's very nice.
Yeah, and I thought that was way cool. I was, at the time, working at the men's department at Macy's, and we would have all these service team meetings, you know, get the whole department together, service team meeting. And I realized, okay, that's what we're supposed to be bringing here, is service. And I think I do a pretty good job. I bring service. But I don't know that it's an honor to serve. I mean, I've brought service, and I think I bring a big piece of it, and I've enjoyed it, and I would even say that I was good at it, and I took pride in it, but I don't know that I could say it was an honor to serve any of the customers that I serve. So I just let that kind of mill around in my head for years, wondering, you know, well, what would that be like to get to the point where you could say it is an honor to serve, or it's an honor to be dedication, or whatever energy you were bringing. And about 10 years ago, one of the students here was a karate instructor. And I had had all different kinds of martial arts in my career, but I had never finished any one of them. I had never reached the black belt level. You know, college or job, something always got in the way, and I'd quit 3 or 4 years into it. And so I said, well, this guy's here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get the black belt. So he offered a class for some of the students here on campus, and we all went. There's about 4 or 5 of us. And he was a very nitpicky instructor. Everything had to be just so. Your hand had to be positioned exactly correctly, and your shoulders had to be turned a certain way for every move. And, you know, I am just not that. I don't care about the details that much. I teach a karate class myself now, and I just tell the students, your hand should be somewhere up here around your face. That'll be good. That's fine. You know, I'm just not that focused on precise details, but he was, and he wouldn't let you advance until you had perfectly mastered the precise form that was burned in his brain, and you had to look exactly like his picture, which was tough for me to do. But I stuck it out. Of the original 4 or 5 people, I think every one of them had dropped out after about 3 or 4 years. I stuck it out for 6 years. 6 years of nitpickiness to get that black belt. And at the end of it, we had a little ceremony. My wife and my 2 kids came to watch me receive the black belt. And I could truly say at that point, it has been an honor to serve our community, because I felt that I had displayed a tremendous amount of persistence and completion, not for me, but for everybody, that I had been serving the whole by, you know, gutting it out and getting to the end of my goal and bringing that big piece of completion, which is a quality that I think our community needs, and I was happy to be able to bring it. And I did feel at the end that I had served the whole with honor.
And your instructor joined you in those energies because he was persistent in bringing that completion to do you as a single class.
Mm-hmm. So in the end, I got to say it has been an honor to serve. And I think I know what that guy that I played those games with was all about when he brought that dedication every day and touched his forehead to the ground. I know what it means to say it's an honor to serve now.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful story. You know, I really liked the little quote that we always have beside, we always have one beside each heart energy. And the one today is, honor lays down the velvet carpet for all that is real. I really, really like that. It's sort of the John the Baptist or the forerunner of the heart. It lays down the velvet carpet for all that is real. Because without honor, you can't really serve the heart.
Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about those quotes is you have to get the email to see them. We list all the heart qualities on the website, but the little quote, the little definition beside each one only comes to you if you sign up for our email.
Yes, yes. And that way you get to meditate with us ahead of time. And it's not that the quote has to be your picture. We emphasize that we all have different facets of each heart energy that make up a whole. But it really helps to sort of expand your mind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had this beautiful, beautiful story of honor from Susan from Valdosta, Georgia. And it's very long, so I'm not going to read it all, but I'm not going to do it justice, I know, because it's a beautiful story, but I'm going to try to share her experience. She was on jury duty, and it was on a rape incest trial, for a young 16-year-old daughter, stepdaughter. And, you know, it was very painful to go through that, not only painful for her to have to testify and tell her story, I'm sure, but, you know, to be grueled about it and, you know, the right and wrong of it and all of that that was involved, you know, that's just got to be painful. And she was experiencing all that pain, and you know, the girl was crying and the attorneys were throwing accusations, and It was very difficult, she says, for her to watch. And then something happened. It was like an energetic force. She just kind of went deep inside herself, and that heart energy, that energetic force of her heart, just brought honor to her. And she was able, it was like she was able to see the girl as and hold her and resonate with the honor that was not being brought to this whole court scene.
Mm-hmm.
And she experienced it in the whole court with everyone she looked at. Not because she was looking at their patterns, because those didn't seem to be very honoring.
Mm-hmm.
But she knew that all of their hearts behind those patterns that weren't quite breaking through those patterns wanted that. And she was, she said, she really felt that she lived the description of honor that was on the website, that there is no heart expression too small to not deserve the red carpet treatment of honor.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing that, Sue. Thank you very, very much. It's time for us to have one of our sponsors acknowledged. Let's talk about bountifulbuys.com. This is a way you can go green online, and we all need to be conscious of the ecology of our planet. You can reduce consumption by exploring a gently used boutique. BountifulBuys.com has clothes, accessories, gifts, books that will all go easy on the planet and on your wallet while you get to go green online at BountifulBuys.com. So how was your meditation for you, Russell?
I like that you read that story from Susan, because it really summed up that idea of, you know, sort of holding the moment, which was a big part of the picture that I got in my meditation. When I focused on honor, the right brain picture that came to me was sort of something that you might see in a physics textbook where they talk about a black hole or a dwarf star, something with such a tremendous amount of mass that it sort of warps space and time a little bit. And they always draw a picture of kind of a flat-looking sheet of paper with this little dimple in it and a planet or a sun or something resting there. And it's just kind of bent the fabric of space and time because of the incredible gravitational pull that it has. I had a picture like that, except in the middle of this bent little dimple of space and time, there was a big, beautiful, lustrous pearl, something very priceless and beautiful. And it was like all of the universe was kind of cradling it. It was so valuable.
Wow, that's a pretty picture. That's really, mine was not quite that elaborate or beautiful, but it made a lot of sense. I saw, you know, one of those games that young kids have where you have a match of this word to this activity, or, you know,
uh-huh.
match.
Draw a line
draw
between
a line.
The two mm-hmm. columns. Yeah.
Well, it was a page like that, only there was a whole list of heart energies. And then there was that was on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side of the page, there was a whole lot of different events and activities, tasks, and all kinds of physical things.
Mm-hmm.
And you were supposed to draw a line from the heart energy to the task or the physical thing.
Right.
And that was the honor. And that's meditating on that is what took me to the story that I came to, is that, you know, while I acted in honor, and I even recognized honor was missing, I didn't draw that from that person's heart and my heart, the line all the way over.
Uh-huh.
And so for me, that was a very clear picture. I didn't have to do much analyzing to figure it out. You're going to have to talk to me a little bit about your left brain understanding of your picture.
Well, the more I worked with it, you're right, it's not as clear-cut as yours, but it came to me that in a lot of our CDs and the workshops you do, I think even this past one, Evolution of Souls, you talked about how all the angels and the masters, all the elemental forces, everything on this planet is geared to support the true expression of your heart. And that's the piece I got, that honor is really just that realization that if you are coming from some real piece of your essence, the whole universe wants that to manifest and will bend itself to make that happen.
Yes, that's good. I'm glad you gave me that explanation. That's pretty. It was a pretty picture and a pretty explanation. Yeah, honor is so important, and I think most people have spaces where they bring honor.
Yeah.
And but that recognition that, like you said, that everything you get to do is a serving of the heart,
uh-huh.
which is honoring the heart. It sort of lays out that velvet carpet for the realness to come into the world.
Uh-huh.
We have an email from Bert in Tryon, North Carolina. I've always tried to live an honorable life, a life of dignity. I never considered honoring my heart. How do I go about that? Well, I would say, Bert, that trying to live a life of dignity is probably you were being heartful. We're just not always conscious that we're being heartful. And the more conscious we become, and that's why we're doing this show, to make people more conscious, the more conscious you become of being heartful, then the more you can join with people's hearts instead of their patterns. And we talked about that in your session today, and it was very real for me in my meditation.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, we have to be consciously heartful. A lot of people are heartful, but consciously heartful to take advantage of every opportunity, might say that. To make sure that you are serving with honor. To make sure that you're connecting with honor.
Also, I mentioned all the CDs and workshops we have that touch on this particular subject, but the one that jumped out at me most, and I think you'll agree, is the honoring the physical workshop that we did at one point. And there was a line in there that's stuck with me. It said that to truly bring honor, you have to be fully passionate about bringing your heart through your actions, but at the same time, you have to be totally detached from the outcome of those expressions.
Mm-hmm. Which is tough.
Yeah, which is tough. And I think that's the conscious part. That's how you go about consciously bringing honor to your heart, is you have to make the expression of your heart more important than whether that expression solves the problem or makes everybody happy in the situation.
Or they join you in even the realness of it. Yeah.
I had a situation about 12 years ago. No, it's a little more than that. It was actually before I got married, so it was about 18 years ago now. My brother got married about 9 months before I did, and he asked me to fly out there and be the best man in his wedding. And at the time, I didn't know whether I would ever get married. My wife and I were living together at the time. We had been dating for, 6 years, but I didn't know whether we'd ever get married because we'd both come from homes where marriage was, not such a great thing. You and my father had gotten divorced, and Jen's family, her parents never got divorced, but perhaps they should have. It's a thing to watch them together. So both of us were kind of hesitant around the subject of marriage, and here I had been asked to speak as the best man at my brother's wedding, and you always have to give this little toast, and I'm like, what can I say that's going to be real? I don't want to just get up there and go, yay, they're together, everybody drink, I wanted to bring something authentic to say that would be meaningful, but at the time, marriage as an institution still kind of scared me, and I didn't know what I could say. And so I got out there, and I was sitting in the hotel room just still trying to come up with something to say. What I came to was, they've already got a relationship, or they wouldn't be getting married. This is not just a mail-order bride thing. They know who each other are, and they love who they are together, and they just want to make that public and have everybody join them in it. And so I got up, and I said something about, just recognizing through this ceremony the wonderful relationship that they've already created, and inviting both of their families to come together and share in who they had become. And it was really touching to me because I felt that I was honoring their relationship by saying that because it was real for me. I could be passionate about it. And yet at the same time, I was totally detached. If they had turned around and gotten a divorce 6 months later, what I said would have been no less real or heartfelt. It was not predicated on anything working out. It was just predicated on, in this moment, here's these two people, here's what they've got. I really honor that. Mm-hmm. And I felt that I got to that place of passion, yet detachment. And mm-hmm. so I could bring that honor.
Yeah. So, Bert, you ask, how do I go about making sure that you honor your heart? I hope that that's helpful, what we said, in trying to make it conscious. And I know Bert, so I know he is trying to make it conscious. And it changes things when you're conscious. When you consciously were trying to be real and heartful in that, in honoring of your heart and their heart. So when you're honoring your heart, you automatically are honoring their heart. Mm-hmm. And in the story I said, I was honoring my heart by bringing honor to that class, but I hadn't yet honored their heart because I just saw their actions as dishonor.
Right.
And so we have to take that second step if we're going to bring honor totally to our life, mm-hmm. so that it becomes an honor to serve, so to speak.
Yeah.
We have another email from Cheryl in Blowing Rock, North Carolina. Hi, Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl.
It says, this morning's meditation on honor reflected a pair of freshly ironed jeans folded neatly. How neat. The cotton threads woven within represented various energies such as support, integrity, etc. No wonder I love a good old pair of jeans. They're just plain old comfortable. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love that she brings out in this picture and in her explanation how every heart energy has other facets of other heart energies.
True, yeah.
And that's what makes it unique for us. Whereas her honor has support and integrity, and I think Bert mentioned his had integrity.
Uh-huh.
For some other people, they may have other heart facets that come together to support that energy of honor. Do you want us to say anything on that, Russ?
Well, I loved her image of the jeans because I think it should be comfortable. That's the piece I finally got to around, you know, it's an honor to serve, is when you get to the place where you're just so comfortable, so focused, so in love with the essence of your heart that you want to bring it out, you're passionate about bringing it out, but you don't have any attachments to it, then it's a comfortable thing. There's no expectation. There's no worry about whether it's going to fix everything. You're just doing it because you love that facet of the one heart that you have, and you're doing or saying whatever you're doing or saying simply to serve that piece. And it becomes an honor, but it's also very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is.
In fact, that's one of the ways I know when I'm bringing honor is I'm not uptight about it.
Yes.
If I've still got some fears or something, I tell myself, you better go clear. You're not going to be honoring this situation if you bring all those fears and stuff.
Like
into
if you
this.
Had made your little speech to your brother at his wedding and still had kind of questions about the marriage.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been honoring it, even though the words would have been the same and they're good words.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's time to acknowledge another sponsor. The I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter is a great product. It gives jelly a brand new partner because it spreads and tastes like peanut butter, but without the peanut allergy concern. In fact, over 4,000 schools, daycares, and Head Starts serve this product daily because it is so healthy for children. But I'm an adult and I love it. Besides its great taste and texture, I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter contains 30% less fat than peanut butter. And heaven only knows we have a fat society that could use soy nut butter.
Yes.
It's cholesterol-free and it offers 8 grams of soy protein per serving. Now you can't beat that. So spread on health with I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter.
They have all sorts of different flavors, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they do. I love the one with honey, and
there's
I love the one with chocolate. And
I think there's a tuna now.
There too. Is. No, there's not a tuna. But there is a smooth and a crunchy and everything. Okay, we have another email from Carla in Atlanta, Georgia. When I looked at honor this morning during my meditation, I saw that it's easy to point out where we don't have honor in our lives, but it might make a huge impact to start noticing where we do have honor and let its light drive dark places out. It is easy to point out where we don't have it, but it's even easier to point out where other people don't have honor.
True, true.
And that's some more of the consciousness that we were talking about. You know, if we notice it's not there, instead of getting all into the judgment and the reaction that it's not, they're just not honoring me. They're just not honoring me. And people love to say that, you know, I've been so dishonored. Well, actually, they were just given an opportunity to bring honor.
Uh-huh.
And even to join with the heart of that person in bringing that honor. So, it changes everything from looking at the what isn't to what is, the glass half empty or half full thing.
Right. I would like to add to that, you know, we always try and give baby steps for people every time we do the radio show to allow them just some little entryway into this energy if it's unfamiliar for them. And the one I thought of relates to that comment. I thought the simplest thing to bring honor to your life is meditate like we do for the radio show every morning and come up with a heart quality, a purpose for your life that day, whether it be honor or commitment or honesty or whatever comes to you in your morning meditation. Say it out loud when you finish the meditation and say, today is going to be about commitment for me. Today is going to be about kindness, whatever came to you. Even if it's just a picture, you may not have a word. Just say what your intention is that day. And then throughout the day, try and relate everything you're doing back to that intention. And that helps you establish that idea that you are serving the heart and not just handling your life. And that brings honor.
You know, my baby step idea was my meditation. Everybody has a list of structure that they're to do that day, and you know what it is, you know what you're going to do, and you will maybe even go as far as to prioritize it or put times by it.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just add another thing and put the heart quality as the subject behind? You know, you have the umbrella of who you are each day, but as we said, each of those heart qualities have different facets, and whatever you need to do that day, that particular facet of that of a different heart energy will support who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's honor today and you're going to go to the grocery store, well, maybe you go in the energy of health, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's stewardship, or maybe it's flow, or whatever you go in. But let's say you go in the energy of health. Then health becomes a support to who you are as an honoring person that day. You get to bring honor and health together.
And it helps you detach from the situations. That's that passionate but unattached piece that we talked
mm-hmm.
about.
Yeah, it's very, very important that we be conscious about who we are. And as we do this show, you know, we talk about pictures and we talk about experiences and we talk about meanings to these energies. And then I have people that write in and say, well, what are the heart energies? Well, we have a list. You know, there's a list in my book, Soulmate or Cellmate. There's a list. Excuse me. I whacked my microphone. There's a list on the website, you know, but there's no complete list.
No.
Because every quality that you can think of, every quality of your life, is a heart energy. It is an energetic thing that infuses your thinking, infuses your feeling, and then can infuse your action if you're conscious in your intent to bring it into that action. It makes it all the way into your life, and you begin to live from the inside out.
And even if we're talking about the same quality, your honor is going to be different than my honor. We may both use that same word, but if you get down to the description of how we express it every day in our lives, it's going to be unique and different for each person. So there's, even within one word, there's an infinite variety of expressions of particular energy.
So it is important that you find some baby step, one, and we call it a baby step just because it needs to be one conscious thing. Because if you try to say, oh, I'm going to be honoring in all of my life now, that's too big.
Right.
You'll forget it. But if today you pick out one way that you're going to bring honor to in your life in a way that make you more conscious, then you have grown that energy. It has become more you. It has become more real and more conscious in your life. We have another email from Kathy in Dayton, Ohio. This morning, my meditation said that honor is recognizing that there is something to celebrate in every situation. To me, this seems a lot like everything has value or purpose and to honor it. So she didn't give us a picture, but she had a meaning in that.
Uh-huh.
That honor is recognizing there is something to celebrate in every situation. You know, when you are looking at life from the eyes of honor, it changes those negative dark spots where you need to bring honor, where dishonor is.
Uh-huh.
You know, I had a student one time that, it happens frequently when people leave. They have to make me the bad guy because they don't want to admit that they have made a choice that, and they don't want to think it maybe could be a wrong choice to stop growing. And so, you know, somehow I have to be something wrong with me that gives them a reason to stop growing. But anyway, I've gotten used to that. I've been doing this growth stuff for years. But every time one of those students do that, it's very dishonoring. I have given my lifeblood practically to help them grow. And then, you know, they find some nitpicky little thing like, you know, I didn't give them enough sessions or I asked them to do something they didn't want to do in one of their sessions or, you know, whatever. But if I focus on that, pretty soon, instead of having a cup full of honor, I would have a cup full of dishonor, because right. that consciousness again. So while that may emotionally feel dishonoring, and mentally I can see, well, that makes no sense. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a good thing. If I just stop there, if I don't go on to say, okay, this is an opportunity for me to acknowledge honor, then every time I think of that person, I'm going to either empower the negative or I'm going to empower honor, which is the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because little things may happen, but if we don't consciously claim the energy and honor the heart in that happening, when we think of that person again or that same kind of circumstance comes up, we're filling our cup with negative stuff.
Yeah, true.
So we're not honoring ourselves.
No, nor the other person.
No. We have an email from Bill in Orlando, Florida. I seem to attract people who get up in the morning and plan how they can dishonor me. Does that mean I have no honor inside? Do you want to start with that, Russell?
I had a situation one time where I was playing in a band, and a woman who was a student here wanted to hire my band to play at her house party. And she had recently, she was still a student, but she had done some things that I felt were dishonoring to you as a teacher. And she later left and is no longer a student. But at the time, she was still here, but I felt some kind of dishonor swirling around her. But, you know, a gig was a gig, and you know, I was all about playing in front of people. I thought, why have a band if you're not going to play in front of people? And so she was offering us a chance to play at this house party, and something about it just didn't feel right to me. And so I came and I talked to you, and I said, you know, I know that you've had a little tiff, something between you and this woman, and I personally have nothing going on with her, but it still feels a little hinky. I just wanted to ask you, do you mind if I play at the house party? And you said, well, I don't personally mind, but the fact that you felt you needed to come ask me probably means that you already sense that there's dishonor there. And I said, yeah, now that you mention it, I'm gonna call her back and say I can't do it. And I realized that if you have to ask the question, you probably already know the answer.
That's so true. That is so true.
So I'm not going to answer that question for you, Bill, but I will say if you have to ask the question, you probably already know the answer.
Well, it could be, too, Bill, that you are looking at the negative, like I said, at all the dishonor, and it has taken up, it's beginning to fill your cup because you're not clearing the dishonor and filling that space back up with honor. You know, for everyone that dishonors you, quote, if you can bring honor to fill that space in your thinking, then when you think about them, you think honor instead of dishonor.
Mm-hmm.
You feel honor instead of dishonor. You don't remember the negative. You remember that you filled that space with something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you just need to be more conscious in your refilling.
Yeah, make sure you're serving some heart quality.
Yeah. Okay. I had written something down here that I was going to mention, and I just have to read it. And so this example came up yesterday with my grandchildren. They were staying with me for a little bit, and while you all had book group, and they had gotten out a game and were playing with it, and actually played very nicely, you'd be really grateful to hear. And when they got through, the oldest one started putting it away, and she asked the younger one to help her, but not in a very nice tone. It was sort of like, get over here and help me. And, of course, the younger one, who likes to resist that kind of request, said no, and so it was going to start. And I just suggested, because to the older one, it felt very dishonoring that she was having to put the game away by herself, and that when she asked for help, she got a no. And so she was getting kind of about it instead of bringing any honor. And so I said to her, since I had meditated on honor for 2 days in a row, I said, okay, honey, how can we honor this situation? So we can't honor her saying no. That feels dishonoring. We can't honor her not helping you. That feels dishonoring. But what is the energy that you really want to have honored here? And she said, well, completion. We need to finish this, get this put away. And I said, so why don't you just honor her and this situation by asking her if she'll join you in completion? She said, well, are you going to help me with completion? I said, well, I don't think that's honoring the heart too much here. Let's try really honoring the heart instead of just saying the words. And so she did. And, of course, the younger one didn't have much choice. I was sitting right there. But she did join. But even if she hadn't joined, it's like you said, it's not attachment to the outcome. It was that she was really honoring the energy that was needed for that task.
And when you do that, whether the other person joins you or not, you are honoring their heart.
That's right. We have an email from Susan in Charlotte, North Carolina. How do I honor my space while sharing my room with my older sister? My older sister, when she comes back home from college, I lose a lot of who I am around order, purity, and honor. How do I cover both of us? This is a huge question. This is a very, very real problem. When somebody's living in your room with you and they don't have order and purity, and therefore, and you're not holding those anymore, you're not honoring those energies in yourself, and you're not honoring them in the space, and this is very big. Do you want to start with it, or do you want me to?
Well, I've never tried to live with my sister.
But you have your brother.
But I did try to live with my brother, and I've also lived with my wife, so I'll draw on one of those experiences. My wife and I have virtually no energies that play out the same. We've got a few that you could put the same word on them, but if you look at how they are expressed, they are miles and miles apart. So it's very easy for me to get stuck on her patterns and say, you know, what you call support, I don't call support, because it comes and goes with the wind. You're very helpful sometimes, and then other times you just flake out. You know, that's not support to me. Support has to be constant. Dependable, constant.
That's one of your facets that are part of support, yeah.
And so it's very easy for me to focus on what she doesn't have around that and get sucked into that and fight with that and feel victimized by that. Something that's helped me very much in the mornings when we do our meditations, we'll start trying to synergize our picture. The other day, for instance, I was meditating, and I got the energy of unity, and it felt like a straw hat, you know, with all the little fibers sort of woven together, separate strands making one unified hat. It was a simple picture, and my wife said, well, my energy is care today, and to me, that's about gardening. You go out and you water the plants that need watering, and you weed and you trim the ones that are getting shaggy, and you bring care where it's needed. And I said, oh, well, that's a good thing. How can we go through our day, instead of bumping into each other, being part of the same picture, even though you're going to be care and I'm going to be unity? She said, well, what if we imagine a picture where I'm a gardener wearing your straw hat? And I said, oh, okay, I can do that. And so throughout that day, sure enough, we bumped into places where I said, you know, you're running off to take care of this little thing, and you've just left me hanging here. I don't feel any unity. She said, well, you know, I don't feel any care, because you're supposed to, you know, hold down the fort while I run off and take care of this thing. And we'd start to, and I just stopped, and I said, okay, how can I be the hat and you be the gardener? And that would pull us back together. It would bring us back to what we did have to share, instead of all the places where we could be at odds.
Mm-hmm. Well, that works if you're both meditating together and have a picture. That's mm-hmm. really good. But I might offer to Susan the example I gave of the granddaughters, mm-hmm. in that when her sister is dumping her stuff all over the room and not helping with the cleaning or whatever, that she asks in honor of the energy. And yes, of course, she would like for her sister to join her, but instead of just saying, well, I can't do anything, she's just a slob, mm-hmm. and she's working, and so she doesn't want to work some more on the weekend and help clean the room. And so instead of that, you ask, but you do it to honor the energy. You could say to her, sis, would you mind picking up your clothes, please? I like order.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a request, but if it can make it a request to honor the energy, then not only are your chances greater, it doesn't mean 100%, but people don't always respond, but there's power in that energy. The heart is the creative force of the universe, so that actually has some power to it when we
right.
say those words. It's not just, well, I sure would like for you to, and I hope you will. It's really, if you're honoring the heart, you're bringing power into your words. And you know, you can say, how can you help me bring purity to this room? Maybe you can't clean it the way I would like, but how can you offer your purity?
Uh-huh. And if you ask for the energy, even if the person that you're talking to can't bring it to you, it'll come to you some other way. If you're doing it to honor that piece of the one heart, then, like I said in my meditation, the whole universe sort of bends to help make that happen, even mm-hmm. if the person in front of you doesn't end up participating in that.
Yes. We have another sponsor we need to recognize, and this is the Ottawehee Wellness Retreat. It's a way that you can get away from it all, but not just get away from it all. You can get away from it all and be healthier and get healthier and go home healthier. Because at the Ottawehee Wellness Retreat, you have everything that a bed and breakfast offers, plus access to a health food store, a fitness room, peaceful walking trails, 10 alternative healers, and the wonderful community of heartful people. It's a place where retreat becomes renewal. So check on to Ottawehee Wellness Retreat, ADAWEHI, OttawaheeWellnessRetreat.com. Well, Ottawehee.com, and you'll find the Ottawehee Wellness Retreat there, Ottawehee.com. Okay, we have another email. This is from Diane in Columbus, North Carolina. One of my honor exercises in a group is this. As each person enters the room, I say to myself, I honor the light of our being, whom we know as, and name the person, saying their name. By the time our meeting starts, I have acknowledged each person as part of us. By the time the last person enters the room, the love I feel is awesome. That's a wonderful, wonderful experience. That would be a great baby step for someone mm-hmm. to, if they're going to go to work or if they're going to be with their family this evening or just go to the grocery store, to say what she says, which is, I honor the light of our being whom we know as and name the person. And you wouldn't have to use those same words, but just that bowing down that you talked about.
That's a lot like the concept of namaste that they use in yoga classes,
uh-huh.
which I think just means I honor the place in you where our spirits touch.
Yes. It is so very important, honor is. It's an energy that you might choose to meditate on several times. Most generally in my meditations, I just wait to see. In fact, I ask, who do I need to be for the planet today?
Mm-hmm.
But if your script, and we're in the workshop we're offering to support this energy of honor, is honoring the physical, and we talk about the physical script, what you're creating in your world, and you as that creative force are creating your world, and what you're creating in your world will be a clue to what you need, because the very things you're reacting to and judging will be what you're needing to bring honor to.
Mm-hmm.
Not to get honor from them. Yeah. That's where we always want it. We want that honor from them.
Right.
But to bring honor to that particular heart energy. We have another email. This is from Mike and Julie at Lake Lure. We appreciate the opportunity to learn more about the heart energies that surround us and are in us. We especially need the constant reminder that energies are already in us and perfect. We just need to be excited about that. I appreciate that, you two. That is so true. I think somebody else saw, and there's the celebration.
Mm-hmm.
If we really learn that everything is an energy, that yes, we cover it up with words, and they don't always come out very pretty, but in that gift wrapping that's maybe not done very well or very pretty, that pattern, there is an energy trying to shine through, mm-hmm. and the light of each person is trying to come through. And if we can say, okay, that person's perfect even though they're not acting that way, and I'm perfect even though I don't feel that way, and begin to see that perfection, we are honoring the heart.
Yeah. There was a image I used several times in our online classes. Whenever I have problems dealing with somebody, I try and go back to the idea that whatever's happening in their life, whatever they've created at that moment, is a snapshot that they took. It's not the totality of who they are. It's a snapshot. And they're the photographer. And I need to get to know the photographer and not like or dislike the snapshot.
Mm-hmm. That's a good image. Very good. And we finally heard from Teresa in Asheville. I thought she was going to join us today. Thank you, Teresa. I love it that we have regular listeners. And we have sections of the country where we have regular listeners, and some of them just listen faithfully but don't email us. But we appreciate your being there, and we know you're connecting with us energetically. Thank you for that. I appreciate the regularness of it. Teresa says, I don't have a question but wanted you to know I'm listening, and I love your show. I feel our hearts touch every week. Thank you. And that goes back to what I was saying about the fact that if you are listening regularly, you are contributing to this whole truth or concept that the heart matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so by letting the heart matter in your life and joining us in letting the heart matter for hundreds of people out there, then we're beginning to come together and support the same thing. And if we do it regularly, like I say, meditate in the same place every day, you begin to anchor energy there. So people who join us regularly are anchoring energy with us on the planet to put out the truth that the heart matters.
Synergy is a very powerful thing. You know, whatever concept, whatever heart energy we're focused on, if we can get 100 people or 300 people to focus on that same heart quality all day, then it's like holding 300 candles up around that energy, and it's that much brighter in the mass consciousness for people who are looking for it.
It is, and the fact that we have brought this much honor today, because we have hundreds of people that listen to the show, and if even those that are listening now, some go back and listen to the archived shows, They're contributing to this honor, and mm-hmm. it's building and building, and we're making a light of honor in the mass consciousness, as you said, and heaven only knows it could be used.
Sure, yeah.
We have an email from Tim in Chicago, Illinois. How can I know if honor is present? What do you mean by physical script? Does that relate to the presence of heart energies? Do you want to answer that, or do you want me to start?
Yeah, we use that word physical script a lot, and people in the internet classes sometimes have trouble with it. I just describe it as looking at your life as a play. acted out on a stage in front of you. You're sitting in the audience, you're watching these actors act out a play. Instead of Taming of the Shrew or Julius Caesar, though, it's called What Happened at Work Today. And the characters are your boss and your coworkers and whatever. You know, they're actors. And if you watch a play, yes, you may focus on that was a really clever line, or I liked the flourish that that actor gave to that sword fight or something. But it's usually those little touches are in service of some message, some theme. You know, there is an underlying theme behind this play. And that's what I tell people to focus on. If you think of your life as a script, just say what it's trying to do with all the dialogue and all the happenings is show me a theme. That's why we call it a script, to get you to think of the underlying theme and not so much all the dialogue.
Mm-hmm. And that play that's being acted out is just for you because it's going to tell you what you need to know about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we do so often is we read the script and we can tell you anything and everything about all those people that are on that stage for us.
Right.
That are part of our play or our script. But instead of seeing it that way, if we can say, they're doing this just for me to get a message.
Right.
For me to know something about myself, for me to know more about how I'm acting out a hard energy or how I'm needing to honor one a little more.
Uh-huh.
The people that bring dishonor are telling you that this is an opportunity for you to bring more honor. They're not just being mean to you.
Yeah, and that gets you away from, you know, focusing on a particular character and saying, oh, that was a likable character in that play, or that character was a snake. I can't believe that somebody would have that, you know, written into their play. That person was just terribly dishonoring. You may or may not like the particular actors. You may or may not like the particular dialogue, but that's still not the point. All of it's trying to point out a specific theme to you, and it gets you so that you're not so focused on whether you liked certain actors or not.
And since the energy today is honor, if you look back over your life today and you can see that everything that happened was part of your play, and just evaluate and see, well, this happened, this happened, this happened. Was this showing me that I'm bringing honor to life, or is this showing me where I could bring more honor to life?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to show you one or the other. It's going to show you the karma or the dharma. It's going to show you where you're strong or where you need to be stronger.
Uh-huh.
It's not a judgment. It's not a condemnation on that when you need to bring more honor. It's just an opportunity.
Uh-huh.
So scripts are very powerful things, and we need to pay attention. It's part of that conscious living that we've been talking about today. So while we're on the subject of conscious living, let me remind you that you've been listening to Heart Matters Radio, where we're trying to learn together how to make our hearts conscious so that we can all live from the inside out, that we can join together in bringing our hearts to make a light that is bright enough to shine in the darkness of the mass consciousness and change our planet. So not only will it change your life, but it can change the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we totally appreciate your listening to us. Tell your friends. Make sure that if you are on Facebook, that you check out our Facebook, that you join our Facebook, that you tell your friends who have Facebook to do the same. We want to spread the word. Thank you so much, and we will be with you again next Monday at 3:00.